21 days of prayer and fasting. We're through that season, and I hope that you took advantage of the corporate prayer and fasting of the church. And that doesn't mean that, okay, we got through that, don't have to do that until Brother Johnson calls it again. Woo! No, actually, we need to continue to do that and make it a weekly habit in your own devotion, in your relationship with God. But I believe that we're going to see some great things. Those who participated, you're going to see some great things, and you may fight some battles yourself because you did that, and that's a good thing. If the devil's fighting you, that means you're doing something good for the Lord. And bring it on, devil. I'm ready. And I'm excited. I took the time, and I had some specific prayers, and one of the prayers that I had was that God would make me more keen, more aware of what's going on in my own home. And how, you know, what we allow in our home and how we represent ourselves as Christ followers, as Christians, as apostolics in our communities. And I just want to make myself aware and don't grow complacent. We don't need to grow complacent. We need to don't grow weary in well-doing. We keep up and we keep on going. Amen? That's what we need to keep on doing. And I really felt that that God pointed out a few things in my own life and in my family, and we've kind of went around and cleaned the corners of our house, so to speak. And in that prayer, in conjunction with being with the young families at Life Groups this last month and hearing some of the things that people were saying and then praying for that night, spiritual warfare and how that affects our young families, brought me back to an old story, and I went and searched that story that night, and I shared that story with the church. It's been almost 9 years ago, and so I'm going to share this story again, and I think it will mean something to this message. Y'all know I love Joshua. If you've been around Brad Fain very long, I love Joshua, and so every message I preach is not about Joshua, but I like to preach about Joshua, and I want to preach tonight. For the next few minutes, you don't have to worry, we won't be here too long, but I believe that God wants to touch our hearts tonight, and this is not a doom and gloom message. I feel this is a message of encouragement tonight. How many want to come to church and be encouraged? Amen? And so after we go through a 21-day of prayer and fasting, and we're focused in on this prayer, I think that we need to follow it up with some action. Amen? So this article that I read, it reads, on February the 19th, 1979, a small plane crashed into Ontario Peak in the San Gabriel Mountains, and a 10-hour story of death, courage, and survival began. The passengers of that Cessna 172 included the pilot, a young woman, an attorney, and his 11-year-old son. The pilot and the attorney were killed in the crash. The boy said he knew his father was dead when he was trying to wake him and trying to get his attention, and there was no response. The boy and the young woman huddled in the snow near the plane for 7 hours, hoping to be rescued. Finally, they decided that if they're going to live or they're going to make it, they must attempt this treacherous descent of the mountain or freeze to death. Shortly after they began, the woman slipped. Tragically fell more than 350 feet to her death. The boy, now all 75 pounds of him, was lost, all alone, on the cold summit of this mountain in the freezing cold, bloody, bruised, broken bones in both hands from the accident, his father lying dead only a few feet away. Now what is he going to do? He never gave up. He took a stick and he slid most of the way down the mountain on the seat of his pants, clutching that stick with his fractured hands. And whenever he began to slide too quickly, he would put that stick down in the snow and he would catch that stick and use it as a break in the snow. And at approximately 5 p.m. that evening, he was found near a village at the foot of that mountain, was rushed to the hospital. He was wet. He was freezing. He was exhausted. Yet he was still very much alive. Before his release from the hospital, there was a news conference, and the young boy encountered a barrage of questions about his ordeal and how difficult that must have been, and how did he find the courage to go on? Didn't he feel like just quitting? And he answered simply, I'm alive today because my dad taught me to never give up. The story, though sad and tragic, I believe it's encouraging in that we all have within us the ability to never give up. We can give up. That's easy. That's the easy way out. But I'm going to choose to never give up, because church, now is not the time to give up. Amen. Now is not the time to throw in the towel. Now is not the time to sit idle and watch as things go awry in our jobs and our lives and our families, our marriages, whatever the case may be. We need to declare today that we're not going to give up. No matter what the devil brings our way, I'm going to stand firm. I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm going to keep coming to church. I'm going to lift my voice. I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm going to be a good witness. I'm going to keep on. I'm going to wake up in the morning, and I'm going to do the same thing over and over again. I'm not going to be weary in well-doing. I'm going to stand my foot on the ground, and I'm going to put my foot on the rock, and I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm going to make up my mind that there's not going to be any compromise in my life. That's what I'm going to make up in my mind. So one of my favorite passages of scripture found in Joshua, everybody say Joshua 24. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, Joshua 24, 15, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood or the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. And let's say it together. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So I want to speak to you for the next few minutes, not giving up on my house. Look at your neighbor and said, ain't going to do it. Not giving up on my house. Not going to happen. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm pretty passionate about this topic. And I have determined that there is nothing that's going to get me in the way of protecting my house. I'm going to do it. We can talk about our household, our house, our home, meaning the members of a family living in that same dwelling. Joshua is speaking of his house. That's his family, his children, all that were immediately under his eye and care, his inspection and his influence. Joshua was a ruler, a judge in Israel, yet he did not make his obligation to public affairs an excuse for the neglect of his own family. Amen? Matthew Henry commentary states of Joshua speaking to the leaders of Israel, he says, but as for me and my house, whatever you do, we will serve the Lord. And I hope you will all be of the same mind. Here he resolves first for himself. As for me, I. It's as if he's looking in the mirror and saying, as for me, I. Okay, this is the decision that I've made. This is where I'm going to plant my feet. This is where my decision starts. As for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. If I can't get the me and the I correct in this situation, how am I going to lead the others? How am I going to lead my children? How am I going to lead my family? Well, Dad, look what you're doing. Well, don't you just do what I tell you to do. We've heard that joke. But it doesn't work. You've got to live it yourself. You've got to do it yourself. You've got to live for God. You got to have a relationship with God yourself if you want your family to have a relationship with God. As for me, I will serve the Lord. I got to get the me, I got to get the I right before I can lead someone else to God, before we're going to have the ability to lead our children, our marriage, our house, before we're going to have the ability to invite others to church, before we're going to have the ability to be a great witness for the Lord. I've got to get the me and the I right before I can do those things. We need to understand that every decision concerning our house will be looked at by our family, by our friends, by our neighbors, by our acquaintances, by those that know you and know who you are. Well, look at them. Well, look at you. I thought you were a Christian. I thought you were apostolic. You don't do those kind of things. Everything we say will be captured and will influence. In the book, The Effective Father, Gordon MacDonald tells a story about James Boswell. Boswell often referred to a day in his childhood when his father had taken him fishing. To Boswell, it was a special day. And it was a day that he quoted as being one of the best days of his life. His busy father, the businessman, took the day off to take me fishing. And he would tell of the stories about all that he learned that day and the conversation he had with his dad. And his dad actually talked back to him, and they had real conversations. And the day just was the best thing that he can remember. And after his father's death, he was this businessman, and he kept his daily journal. And so they wanted to see this day that Boswell talked about so much. And so they went back to the journal and checked the diary, and his father kept very, very close. The only entry on this day was, "Gone fishing today with my son. Didn't catch anything. A day wasted." So a day when the father thought, well, just a day fishing, no big accomplishments made, no projects completed today, didn't really make any money, and didn't even catch any fish. Really just a wasted day in his book. And it turns out to be one of the best days and memories of his son's life. I was listening to my sports radio. I'm sorry, I like to do that. And there's a commercial that comes on, and probably some of you have heard it. And I threw this in tonight. Can we play that? Just listen closely.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
He knew exactly what to do.
I had no clue what I was doing.
We set up the rocket. Hit ignition. And then?
And then nothing. Sometimes I laugh when I'm frustrated.
Then out of nowhere, the rocket launched into the air.
The rocket did get into the air.
I've never seen anything fly so high.
And then crashed into a kite.
Look out! Look out!
And then the pond.
I'll never forget that day.
Even if I tried.
It's funny. It's humorous. But two totally different perspectives in life. It's quite obvious every word and every action has a tremendous influence in the lives of our children. It has a completely different connotation when you've got this different perspective of all positive and this other side of, I don't even know what I'm doing, but the best day of his life. We can live that life, church. And I'm not just talking to the people with children here. I'm talking about to everyone. We can start ignoring our spouses. We can be negative, you know, in our home, and you bring that negativity, and they're trying to be positive, and you're talking about all the you know where I'm going with that. So I believe that above teaching, and we're talking about kids right here, I believe that above teaching them to ride a bike or fish or to hunt or to play ball or to play a musical instrument, the best legacy that we can leave for our children is a legacy of faith and a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's to know that they will stay faithful to the teaching of the Word of God, because I've got to get the me and the I correct. If they have walked away, we believe that God will continue to work on their heart. And we're never going to give up on our house. I have called my mom and emphatically said, thank you for raising me in this truth. Thank you for the times that I can remember standing outside your door, listening to you cry, because I thought something was wrong with her. But she was crying, and I heard my name as she was praying out to God for our family, our house. Thank you for instilling something within me and my life that no one can take away from me. It is my choice from here, and I choose to serve the Lord. I'm not giving up on my house. I got to tell my kids over and over and over and over. I have to instill this truth over and over and over and over. I have to pray that prayer over and over and over, pleading the blood of Jesus Christ over and over and over. My house, my children, my marriage, over and over and over. You don't just do it one time. You keep it up. You stay the course. I cannot grow weary of continuing to do the right thing day after day. I can't be weary in well-doing. I have to keep my attitude in the right place. Your house, it's a sacred place. It's your home. It's where your family grows, either in truth or out of truth. Church, we have to be consistent in our walk with God. We cannot be one way at home and a different way away from our house. If it's conviction at home, it should be a conviction when you're not at home. Our families, our immediate or distant need to see us consistent. We have to live it at home, or we're not going to live it in the real world. 1 Kings 2, 1 through 4, King David is passing on a charge to his son Solomon. And it says this, verse 1, as the time of King David's death approached, he gave this charge to his son Solomon. I'm going where everyone on earth must someday go. Take courage and be a man. Observe the requirements of the Lord your God and follow all his ways. Keep the decrees, commands, regulations, and laws written in the law of Moses so that you will be successful in all you do and wherever you go. Verse 4, if you do this, then the Lord will keep the promises he made to me. He told me, if your descendants live as they should and follow me faithfully with all their heart and soul, one of them will always sit on the throne of Israel. As we see this passage, King David, he's at the end of his life. He is on his deathbed, and he knows it. So he brings in Solomon, his successor, and gives him his final words. And King David challenges his son Solomon to be strong and to show himself a man. He's having a heart-to-heart, man-to-man conversation. Here is how to be a man, according to David. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to God. Be faithful to God. The key to God's hand of blessing on King Solomon was to be faithful. The key to God's hand of blessing on your life, your child's life, is if they learn to be faithful to God, to follow his will, to obey his word. That's why I love this story, especially chapters 23 and 24. Joshua's the leader and he's the father. He influenced an entire generation. He was the successor of Moses who led the children of Israel into the promised land. And in Joshua 24, just prior to his death, Joshua, the leader who followed Moses, called all of the people of Israel to a place called Shechem. From among the people, he called out all the leaders and rehearsed to them God's mighty hand of deliverance, provision, and direction in their lives. Then, after reminding the people of God's goodness in their lives, Joshua challenges them to serve the Lord. Joshua gives the people a clear choice. Now, therefore, I'm going to read again, fear the Lord. Serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river, the flood, and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I don't think we can say that enough. I think we need to post that in our minds. We need to speak it every day. Hey, you know what? I know things are getting tough. I know it's a little bit rough. I know the finances are a little bit thin. I know the cupboard may be a little bit bare. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I know I get agitated at you and you get agitated at me, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I know kids are smart aleck sometimes and you have your problems and I have mine, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's not an option. It's not up for negotiating. We will serve the Lord. The people answered in verse 16. So the people answered and said, far it be from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us all in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. Verse 18, and the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. And the people said, Joshua, we will serve the Lord. Amen. The question of who you will serve, it's got to be addressed. It must be addressed. And what I'm talking about is when you're growing, I used the word a little earlier, when you're growing complacent in your home. Oh yeah, I go to church. Come on, kids, we got to go to church. Get ready. Got to go to church. Go. Got to go to church. Time to go to church. Time to make the donuts. Got to go. We got to go. Go get. We don't need to have that attitude. We get to go to church and we get to go serve the Lord. Let's start talking about all the blessings that God has given us. We need to rehearse that with our families. We need to rehearse that with our kids. Brother John asked earlier, how many of you experienced a healing in your life? And I think most everybody raised their hand. Has God answered a prayer in your life? Rehearse that. Don't forget the blessings that God has given you. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's got to be answered. Which direction are you going to allow your children? Which direction are you going to allow your house to go? At the end of Moses' life and at the end of Joshua's life, both generations had to make the decision. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Don't put it off for a convenient season. Right now is the time to make that decision. Don't think that you can waver, halt between two opinions. Choose today the one you're going to serve. When you make this decision, this one choice, the most significant choice of your life, then all the other choices become easier. What rests in the power of a choice for you? Your decisions will determine whether you go forward into victory or go backwards to defeat. Submit to God or rebel against Him. Forgive others or just become bitter. Are forgiven yourselves or lived condemned. All of heaven's resources are released by the power of choice. Choose you this day. There's incredible power in a choice. And as you read through Joshua 23 and 24, you see those elements. Joshua, the spiritual leader for Israel and the spiritual leader of his family, and he doesn't pull any punches. He makes his case for commitment to God. We've got to do that. If you say you're going to do something, do it. Follow through with those decisions. If you fasted and you prayed and you had focused prayer for 21 days and you made some decisions in your household, don't let it go for a couple weeks and then let it fall off. Follow through and be diligent with your decisions that you made when you're in your right spiritual mind. Follow through and do those things. Be an example. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We need to be honest. It's not ever just easy. Living a life faithful to God and having a godly home and teaching your kids to love God in this very self-centered world, it seems like sometimes it's impossible. It's difficult, but it is possible because many have made that commitment. But leaving a legacy of faith to your children begins with your choice. We make that deliberate choice. Just like Joshua did in this passage, whether anyone else did or not. Joshua and his family are going to serve the Lord. The same is true for us today. We must decide. We make the choice of what our home becomes. No matter what kind of home you may have right now, parents, grandparents, aunt, uncle, you can change that home. It doesn't have to stay the same. If you're uncomfortable the way that that home feels, change that home. When you walk into that place, people need to feel the presence of God. There's a family in this service right now, and they had offered us to go and stay at their house on a little vacation, my family, for the weekend, and they told us right where the key would be when we got there, the key wasn't there. We didn't know what to do. Well, they were being very kind. They're letting us stay at this nice place, but we can't get in. It's like having a Corvette with no gas, you know what I mean? I didn't know what to do. And so they made a quick call and they said, look, talk to our neighbors and you can go and stay at their house tonight. Then we'll get you a key. You can be there for the rest of the weekend. We went in to the other house and it was just kind of, just didn't feel right, you know? And I'm not saying that, you know, we started seeing demons. I'm not saying that. It just didn't feel right, you know? And I wasn't invited there for one. And it just wasn't in the right situation. And I didn't know exactly why I was feeling the way I was feeling. And so the next day, we got the key, and we're going to go stay at the other house. And that family said, look, you're already there. You're welcome just to stay there the whole weekend. And so my wife had already went next door and was taking stuff in the house. And she was standing there with this goofy grin on her face when I walked in. I was like, what now? And I walked in, and it was like someone punched me in the face. There was such a mighty presence of God in that home, of that family that goes to this church. I promise you, you could feel that there were many prayers going up in that place. And I said, let's hurry, get the stuff over here real quick. And she's like, I was waiting for you to say that. I didn't want you to say, let's just keep stuff over there. We're already there. She said, I feel the presence of God. You can tell they pray in this house. And that's exactly what I was thinking. I want people to feel that when they walk into my home. Because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. We make that choice of what that home is going to be. And all things can change with a choice. Maybe God wasn't the center of your home growing up. Well, it doesn't have to be that way anymore. It doesn't have to be that way in your home. You can choose and what it's going to be in the center of your home. A very dangerous perception that some have about faith and God in their home as well. Religion was forced on me when I was a child, and I want my children to make their own decision. If I had hair, I'd just push it all in my face. You are kidding me. I'm not talking about brainwashing our children. But when it comes to serving the Lord or being pushed out with the wolves and the nastiness of this world, okay, honey, just go do whatever you want to. Religion was pushed on me and forced on me, but I'm not going to do that to you. I'm going to let you just go into all of that hell out there and just waller in it all you want to. Don't that sound like a great idea? No. No, it does not, because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I'm not going to accept that. It's a decision that we must make. It's as if parents sit their children right down at the negotiating table and say, you can follow any God you want to. I realize that our children will need to make their own decisions at some point. That's why I'm preaching. You have to put it in them. If we have just a basic knowledge of the Bible and its message, why on earth would we not do everything we could to help our family see that Jesus is the way, Jesus is the truth, Jesus is the life? It's not up for negotiating. You can never give up on your house, because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And I'm not dare saying that my family's perfect. Don't misperceive what I'm saying. Everybody can work on their things, right? But I am telling you, we've made a decision. We're going to serve the Lord. This is a fact. Did you know that most people who make a decision to live for God do so before they're 18 years old? Think about this. That is the amount of time your children typically are in your home. And most of the time, if they don't make a decision to live for God by then, they may not. I'm not saying it can't happen. We've got witnesses all across the sanctuary that came to God after they were 18, and thank God for that. But that's not the norm. We can't take what happens in our homes lightly or for granted. We can't just give up. It's important. It is molding our families for life. It's also helping them make the right decisions for their own. We need to allow our children to make decisions at home. When they fall, we can help them get up. That's what we need to be there for. The book of Joshua was written during a time when people worshiped all kinds of gods. There were sun gods, moon gods, dirt gods, here God, there God, everywhere God, God, all kinds. You may say, I don't worship a sun god. Well, let's remember that a god is anything that you keep, that keeps us from wholeheartedly serving our God and wholehearted devotion to God. It could be a job. It could be money. It could be an addiction. It could be a hobby. It could be a relationship. Joshua very boldly says, remove anything that is keeping your wholehearted devotion from God. Fear God. Serve Him with all your faithfulness. When parents intend to leave a legacy, there'll be change of life, because you have to do it on purpose. This stuff doesn't happen on accident. We have to do it on purpose. You cannot give up on your home. Are there things in your home that have the potential to pull your child away from God? I ask you, are there things about your lifestyle that could pull your home away from God? Are you putting things before God? Joshua 24:31, we find this comfort in Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua. And all the days of the elders that overlived or outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Israel served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua. And of the elders who outlived him and who had experienced everything the Lord had done for Israel, King David wasn't a perfect father. We know that. Joshua probably wasn't either. I'm for sure not. God doesn't expect us to be perfect. He only expects our best. Our forefathers weren't without their sin and their mistakes, yet they made a deliberate attempt to be faithful to God and point their kids and point their families and point their relatives and point their friends and point those who they're witnessing to in the right direction. We cannot give up on our homes. The message today is not only for that house full of kids, as I said. It's for the singles. It's for the elders. It's for the children who have already moved on. It's for the couple who needs to keep on keeping on. Our homes are not up for grabs. We have to defend them with everything that is within us. I'm not giving up on my home. The musicians can come, please. Sometimes we forget how powerful our seemingly small actions can be. I'd like to read this to you. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you hang my first painting on the refrigerator, and I wanted to paint another one. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you feed a stray animal and thought it was good to be kind to all of God's creation. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you make my favorite cake just for me. And I knew that little things are special things. When you thought I wasn't looking, I heard you say a prayer. And I believe there's a God that I could always talk to. When you thought I wasn't looking, I felt you kiss me goodnight and I felt loved. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw tears come from your eyes. And I learned that sometimes things hurt, but it's all right to cry. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you cared. And I wanted to be everything that I could be, just like you. When you thought I wasn't looking, I was. And I wanted to say thanks for all the things I saw. When you thought I wasn't looking, we have a bigger influence on every human being around us than we may think. Many of us beat ourselves up that you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not spiritual enough, you're not whatever enough. But we serve a God who wants to use you. We serve a God that loves us equally. We need to think about the decisions we're making at home. Joshua on his deathbed wanted the people to never forget that they owed everything to God. It's easy to see how that might happen. After all, the Israelite army had won battle after battle, often routing the enemy from the field. Be natural to start thinking, hey, we are something. But that thought is always deadly. Joshua knew that once the people started taking credit for their victories, they would soon turn away from the Lord altogether. We ought to do with our families what Joshua did with the people of Israel. I made reference to it earlier, but it's a good thing to review past blessings, to make a written record of God's faithfulness. We need to say to our children, sweetheart, you remember when you were sick, and we prayed to God and you got better. Do you remember when Dad lost his job and we were afraid, so we prayed and God gave him a new job? Do you remember when we prayed to God for our family and they came to God and God filled them with the gift of the Holy Ghost? A good memory of God's blessings is a safeguard against backsliding. Has God blessed you? Then write it down. Think often about it. Tell your children. Tell your family. Tell your loved ones. Tell your friends. It's okay to brag on God. Pass it along that generations to come. can tell that story after you. We need to be quick to forgive and slow to take offense. I've told many parents, you know, you don't have to teach your kids to disobey and say no or steal the cookie from the jar or pull their sister's hair or be rebellious or be disrespectful to tell a lie. You don't have to teach any of that. But you do have to teach them not to be disobedient, not to steal, not to be mean to siblings, not to be rebellious, to be respectful, to always tell the truth. In strong families, limits are clearly explained. If the child trespasses beyond those limits, discipline is applied in the right way. And one of the worst things a parent can do is to promise punishment and never deliver it. Teaches that child the terrible lesson that they can get away with breaking the rules in life. The day your family hears one thing and sees another is the day the downward spiral of your life will tumble. We cannot allow ourselves to be tempted and fall to the ways of the world. We cannot give up on our homes, church. We have to live a life of diligence. Keep on keeping on. And as I look across this sanctuary, I see very diligent saints of God. And as I look around this sanctuary, I see people who I keep my eyes on. Their great fathers, their great grandfathers, their great leaders. Get your eye on somebody that can mentor you. I was in my office one day and young man in there, and he was about to take a job as a youth pastor and starting his family. We're discussing ministry at large, but we're talking about families, and he started asking me a lot of questions about my own family. I began talking about instilling biblical principles in my children, and that you can never stop doing that. You don't just instill principles when it feels good or when it's easy, but you do it day by day by day. Those kids, those tender minds, they got to hear it over and over. This is when we had the Christian school here. I said, well, I'll tell you what. Let me show you what I'm talking about. That young minister's like, what are you going to do? I turned around, I picked my phone up at my desk, and my son, who was probably about 15 or 16 years old at that time, I called up to his classroom and I got the teacher on the phone. I said, I know this is not proper, probably shouldn't do this, but can I talk to Colton for just a minute? And she said, sure, just one second. Colton came to the phone and I said, Colton, if I say Colton never, what would you say? He said, never quit going to church, Dad. And I said, Colton, never. And he said, never turn my back on God. I was about to explode because I say that to all three of my kids all the time. I can look at Adara and say, Adara, never. She'll say, never quit going to church, Dad. Adara, never. Never turn my back on God. And I got one more for my daughter. And I say, never. And she said, never settle for anything. My six-year-old is already saying it. Ezra, never turn my back on God. never quit going to church. I'm not saying we're perfect, but you got to instill it every day. Because as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We may be bloody and bruised when this whole thing's over. From falling, making our mistakes. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We have to instill it. We have to rehearse it. We don't have to brainwash it. Because it becomes a way of life. We got to make this a way of life, church. Never turn our back on God. Dear Lord, right now I pray. Pray for every family, every young family, every young married. Maybe they don't even have children in their home yet. I pray for that family. I pray for that husband. I pray for that wife. God, I pray for that single mom. I pray for that single dad. Experience hardship in their life. God, found themselves in this situation. So many times of no fault of their own. I pray for comfort and peace for that family right now in Jesus' name. God, I pray for that mom and dad. God, with all the evil forces around pushing against them, that they make that choice to never turn their back on you. Never quit coming to church and living for the Lord. I pray for that family, God, whose children left for college or they've left home for work and they've grown up. Now mom and dad are living in that home all alone. Pray for that, God, for comfort and peace. God, that it's not an empty nest. It's just a transition in life. And there's a relationship with those children. There's always a place to come home. I pray for those grandparents. I pray for the elders, God. God, that they will continue to rehearse your blessings to their children, to their grandchildren, to their great-grandchildren. God, you have blessed this church with so many good people. I thank you, God, for every individual. I thank you, God, for the diversity of this church. God, every culture, I thank you for that, God. God, let us bind together like never before, that we are a force to be reckoned with. That we serve you together. God, I pray for that college student right now. God, with the liberal professors that profess there is no God, let them stand strong, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, God, for this moment. God, it feels like a peace. Swept over the sanctuary. God, you know every individual that's here. God, you know every individual that may be watching online. God, you know every detail of every relationship right now. God, I pray for our minds. God, with the stress and anxieties, Lord, that haunt some of our minds, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. Depression and fear, I rebuke it in Jesus' name. I come against it in the name of the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. let's all stand, and if you have time to come to this altar and pray for just a moment. I hope you're encouraged by this message tonight. That is my intentions. It's not to beat anyone up, but let's get in this fight together. Shoulder to shoulder, hand in hand, brother to brother, sister and sister. Let's fight together. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Make yourself accountable. Find people you can be accountable with in Jesus' name.